podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Good afternoon, ladies and gents, and welcome to another post-conference presser. So it's Brighton for this one, and oofed, it was a little bit lively towards the end, so we've got plenty to talk about here. So I'm Dave Davis. I'm joining you not from a field in rural Ireland, but just outside of Edinburgh. And based on the press conference, I'm probably quite pleased to say we are joined by a medical professional today. So we have Dr. Phil, Dr. Phil Barton with us. Phil, how are you?
Oh, not too bad, thanks, not too bad. Only a doctor in sports science, but yeah, it's okay.
Well, yeah, we'll take any doctor we can get, Phil, after that press conference. So there is absolutely loads to talk about. So we'll do the normal running order, ladies and gents. We'll do the presser comments, focusing on what Klopp said specifically. We'll have a look at the Wolves FA Cup game, any clues we'll take from that. We'll talk about Brighton, the opposition tomorrow, the formation and lineup that we'll employ, and then Phil will have his go at beat the host for score and scorers. So, Phil, let's get right into it. It was an interesting one, to say the least. Well, I'm saying that. It did start off maybe the most exciting, but it got livelier, is the way I'd phrase it. Put it that way.
Totally agree with you. Yeah, it started off pretty run-of-the-mill, dull, but then, yeah, towards the end, it vamped up in tetchiness.
I was going to say, you used the word tetchiness. Apart from what Jurgen Klopp said, what did you actually take from him? Because I felt he was almost a roller coaster the way he was. But what did you almost take from his mood in that press conference?
I think you look at it in two parts. The first part I thought was he was just ticking the dots off. He's sitting there talking about a game, being nice, and doing the kind of, it's not Potter ball anymore, but it's... I can't remember the other guy's name, but it's his ball and they're actually gone more possession based, which he was surprised about. But, you know, that kind of respectful kind of way. Yeah. An update on the injuries and he was like, that's just how it is. But when it turned towards transfers, I thought his mood changed a lot. A lot too frustrated. Clearly picking his words. I think it was times he sort of went away in his head. Sometimes he doesn't thought about what he was saying very quickly and then came back. So, yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think frustration is probably the right word I'd use. And we've definitely got to pick up on some elements that you mentioned there. The first one I want to start off with is the injury reporting, because there have been a few articles in The Echo this week where we been led to believe there'd be a Jota update, but nothing was forthcoming. There was the normal, as you said, run-of-the-mill, the injury discussions. Bobby was an interesting one because he was only a line from Klopp, but then it got picked up by a journo that, you know, what's happening with Bobby, because we almost expected him back around the Brentford game, you know, that was the indication. So he went into a bit of detail, Klopp, around it was small and some bigger, then he felt it again specifically, and almost a killer line in a way, Phil. He's not close to first team training. And it just made me think about the article that Sam Maguire had put out this morning about there's almost a vagueness, so to speak, or little white lies, omissions, whatever you want to call it, that frustration in our injury reporting. Do you agree with that? Do you feel that the club does that deliberately? Is it the best tactic? What are your honest thoughts on that sort of the way they report the injuries?
I think at times I agree with it, because sometimes if you put a deadline out, you're held hostage to fortune, right? And I actually think that's what's happened to Bobby. Like they put out that he was expected to be back for Brentford, but now he's not. You know what I mean? And he's got, he's now had to go into two presses asking the same set of questions. So I kind of understand. I agree with both potentially not putting a definite date on he will return by this by, because it's just not, it's not a linear process. Yes, we have rehab. Yes, we have physios. The club doctor's irrelevant. I mean, if anyone listening to UP will tell you that the role is kind of almost a figurehead. It's not actually to do with the treatment of our players. So, and each, particularly when you get older, the thing with Bobby, I can imagine it was a small thing. They sort of tried to repair it. And then through the rehab process, something else was diagnosed or came about, and now he's out for longer. That does happen a lot with older players. That's kind of what you get when you get past that magic 30 mark. Things become a little bit less easier to repair. The scar tissue that you've built up over a 10, 15 year career will start getting in the way. And this kind of stuff happens. The bit that I do agree with Sam Maguire about is you don't get any details. So we still don't know all those players you mentioned. We don't know what actually was wrong with them. True. You know, I mean, Minnie's back now. God, no, what was it? I presume it was a calf or a hamstring tear he pulled up in the game. Okay, cool. But that's because it was in the game, happened. Darwin, no idea. Gapko was injured, apparently. Got a knock on the hip and now he's back. Do you know what I mean? It was all, that's the part I find a bit hard, because I don't think it helps. If you said he's got a knee problem, okay, fair enough. At least you get a bit of information. But the fact we don't get anything is probably that vacuum curates, and then people fill that vacuum with whatever narrative they want to put in. And I don't think that helps the club.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. It's that almost admission of facts, like you said. People then will just insert their own facts, especially in the current climate, to suit theories, I'd say, as well. Yeah, exactly that. Couldn't agree with that more. Listen, we've got to get onto the juicy topic, Phil. The part one, almost, the transfer stuff. So I like what you said earlier. It was quite routine, one of the mill, but we got some drama and the popcorn was almost out for the watchers towards the end. So for those who haven't seen it, folks, there was two specific parts around transfers. So the first one was a natural question from Sky around, you know, looking at the transfer market. That was always going to come, I think. So Klopp's initial reaction was,
are you that person who has everything? The coolest merch and those must-have fan threads? Well, over at our Anfield Index shop, we've gone that extra mile when it comes to pimping up your Liverpool collection. From our popular range of bespoke design t-shirts, sweaters, hoodies and hats, to our signature edition mugs, prints and coasters, all provided with fast worldwide shipping. We have something for every red. We also stock official LFC merchandise and are licensed with the Premier League and UEFA to sell official iron-on shirt badges and sleeve patches. As a listener to this podcast, you can get 10% off everything with coupon code AIPRO10. Just head over to anfieldindex.shop or find us on Etsy by searching for Anfield Index.
I don't think, and this is me paraphrasing, I should say, I don't think we can solve all our problems in the transfer market. He doesn't see any incomings, which naturally, I'm sure any social media, the IO went through the roof, but it was the second part when it came back, Phil. So poor Carl Markham got it quite,
oh, man,
quite well, shall we say. So even use the example when he asked it, that Carl, you've been in, I like the way you phrased it, 5,999 of my 6,000 press conferences. Now, this, again, you can almost attach something that's too much to words, but it's important to explore this. You know our money situation. I thought that was such an interesting line.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned the four forwards, you know, injured. So what are we going to do there? But he seemed genuinely, I'd say, a bit frustrated, sort of fluctuating with anger for me, Phil. How did you see that whole part of the convo?
I thought he was annoyed because if you look at the way it went down, I think you're right. Was it Sky came in and asked him the question, the running and mill? And I think Klopp thought he'd nipped it in the bud then. He's done his transfer bits now. Right, let's crack on. Let's talk about other stuff. Because he just finished talking about Brighton having 2 sixes, 2 tens, you know, and being really... And you know Klopp loves talking about tactics. So then when Carl brings it back to the transfer question, I think he was like, flipping it. I've just had a question like that. You know, why are you asking me that? And you've been here all of my things. Oh, today you're just going to record. You're not going to write it down, was one of his lines.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's quite a line to be hitting a journo. And then once Klopp had, you could see he thought a bit, and you know, his eyes went away, and he thought about what he was going to say next. So the tail end of his answer was something along the lines of, transfer market is not the solution unless someone tells me we can do something, was the line he put in there. And you can't always solve the problems on the pitch with the transfer market. What do you do when players come back from injury? Because he said something like, when everyone's back from injury, we've now got 7 forwards. So it was, I think he, after he initially got really annoyed, he then backtracked a little bit and said, look, what do you want me to do? We've done that bit for our forwards because that was a problem. And now we can't solve the midfield issue. I think that's kind of where he was getting at. I think so. But yeah, it was still an interesting response to a fairly run-of-the-mill question.
Yeah, I'd agree. And I totally get that sentiment that you're right, it did frustrate him. And I think he almost caught himself, if that's the right phrase.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
I'd best just walk this back a little bit and stay calm. But, and again, this will all come down to opinions and everyone's going to have them on our current plight, transfer market, etc. Maybe a bit of a follow-up. Do you feel it was almost a... Because people are going to say, like, all sorts of things. You know, Phil, now about FSG, money backing, all those types of things. Do you think it was a dig in any sense? Or was it just that this is the situation, it is what it is, I'm cracking on? How did you see that bit?
He almost used the Rafa line of, I'm here to work with the boys I've got. You know, when Rafa said, I'm the coach of the players, right? He said something very similar to that. So I would take that as there was a little bit of a Klopp dig in there. For me, I have to say, I think he should be a little bit more vocal, because I'm sitting there going, we've got 18 games to play. We are miles away from getting top four with that midfield unless you buy someone now. So if I was in Klopp's position, knowing we do have money in the bank, which I kind of think he said, you know, everyone knows our financial position. You look at the turnover, look at it. It's in public forum. So I think as much as Klopp is a club man, you know what I mean? He's always playing the right line, the rest of it. I think that's as far as you're going to get to him saying, I'm here to coach the boys. The boardroom are there to sort the money out. You know, the situation. I think that's as close as you're going to get, in my opinion, of him having a dig saying, well, they're saying there's no money there, so we can't buy anyone.
I completely agree with that. And I know there's going to be fans or listeners, and I've got my tin hat on ready when I say this, that say, no, we should push him harder and that type of thing. We know, Phil, Klopp is so big on unity, isn't he? Unity in the club, the way it all connects. He's never going to be that political, and to use the figure you said, Rafa-style figure, who will go hard after the owners a different way. It's just not going to happen. It's as close as he's going to get. But
he's also got an issue of, if he did come out and said, yeah, I think we need a midfielder, he's only got 4 midfielders at the moment. He's got to motivate them to go and play. Do you know what I mean? And the way Klopp is, he's very much like, I'm one of you almost. So again, he's not a Rafa figure. Well, Rafa could quite easily turn around and go, I need new 4, because he fundamentally didn't have that relationship with his players. And Klopp does.
Yeah, completely agree with that. Well, there's still a long time left in January, so I think transfers are going to be asked again. So I wonder if Karl Marken might be one to ask next time. But yeah, definitely an interesting one there. And another thing, probably the final thing I really want to pick up that he was asked on, Phil, and I like this question from the journalist, that he referenced what Klopp had said before about, you know, challenges, duels, and in essence, what's needed to put it right. So Klopp talked about training have been good. He was keen to say that quite a few times. We're not going to change the way we play. And in essence, he emphasised that when we don't win the ball back, it can look, the pitch especially, can look very big because of the way we press, the amount of people we put around the ball that way. Keen to say again, we won't be looking to change, but we need to make, the way he phrased it, the final step. And we're assuming that relates to sort of tackling duels, which you mentioned after the Wolves game. Do you see it? Is he just entrenched that way, or do you see it differently from what he's saying?
I think there's a lot. I understood what he said. He's saying that we got the players around the ball. I thought he gave something away. He said that generally speaking, in our pattern of play, we try and get two, if not three, in a perfect world. Insinuating we haven't been doing that. We've been getting ones and twos. And if you look at the pressing data that we've produced, it's all solo pressing. So it is ones or twos. And he's saying we need twos or threes. So that's giving you an indication that he's not been happy with the rate at which we're pressing from the front and midfield to get three round the ball, which then leads on to the fact that he said that if you don't get three round the ball, the opponent can get out and the pitch is really big because you have all the players in one area of the pitch and the player will switch it, which is what Wolves did. And therefore, we are isolated in 1v1s. So I think he's saying that we need to make more challenges in that two, when we're two and three round the ball, to prevent the player from getting out, which is then will become our attacking option. The problem is we haven't done it all season, so I'm not entirely sure.
Hello, I'm here to annoy you. I'm here to annoy you into listening to more of me and more of others on EPL Index. We don't just have the Anfield Index stuff. We've got EPL Index as well, which covers the entirety of the Premier League. And we have three podcasts and a whole bunch of really good writing on EPLindex.com. The podcasts are my own Two-Footed podcast, which is every day at 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, covering the whole league. We have A Tad Predictable, hosted by Tadiwa. You know Tadiwa, he does Anfield Index. He presents A Tad Predictable before every Premier League match week. And then Kevin DeVries and his crew on the EPL Roundtable, they're every week after the Premier League match week. So make sure you listen to everything we're doing on EPL Index and follow us there on Twitter at EPL Index. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I don't see the evidence of how he's suddenly going to change that. I get it. I understand what he's trying to say. I just haven't seen that a change all season in doing it.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Maybe it's a blind hope, but the thing I'm pinning my hope on is he keeps talking about training's been good this week. So let's just hope there's been a focus on that, maybe.
For sure.
I don't know. But yeah, it was a lively one. If you haven't done it yet, folks, definitely recommend the chance just to have a watch back of it. But the only other thing we can really take from the press conference, and they're not always the most exciting revelations, but there is an embargo. So 10:30 tonight, we'll see what's out. Not that I can really think there's too much left to say, but who knows, realistically. Definitely an interesting one. So looking back to the Wolves game from the weekend, the FA Cup tie, an interesting game, really. We went full strength, Phil. We drew against a weakened Wolves team, I think it's fair to say. I'm not going to put words in your mouth at all. For me, it wasn't the best performance, put it that way, and we're all set for a replay this coming Tuesday. What were your general thoughts on that performance?
I'm going to try and not repeat myself, but generalise it. I thought the first period of the game, generally, the first sort of 15 minutes, I thought we looked okay. I thought we had good patterns. I thought you could see that we'd spent time on the training field because, again, we had another week's worth of training. Yeah. I thought, yeah, all right. I was actually really impressed with the way Gakpo fitted into our pattern of play. But then this common theme that is now starting to get a bit silly to trying to think of a technical word, is an error. So Matip makes an error and then for some reason, everybody decides to completely lose confidence in their ability to do anything. And then we make three errors in the space of 5 minutes and a 1-0 down.
Yeah.
And I don't think we ever recover from there. I really don't. I think there was periods in a game where we scored. There was players that played well, but from that moment on, we lost our composure and they just took advantage, really.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And the one thing I did think as well, like you said, it's almost a chain reaction that like error just leads to more and more, almost a sense of panic, for want of a better phrase. There was a good Neil Jones article this week around, it was linked to Gakpo, but it had some stats that on the 14 occasions Liverpool have taken the lead this season, they win. But yeah. when they concede that first goal, I think I can't remember the exact numbers. It is a good one to read, folks, if you've not. It's something like 11 occasions. They've only got a positive result four times. It just feels, doesn't it, like that first goal, that knife edge is so much for us. And when it doesn't come, there is do you feel there is that sense of panic if we don't get the first goal, if it doesn't come?
I think we are no longer the mentality monsters. Okay, we are so anxious about that first error. And when it comes, you can just see it drain out of players and they're like, oh God, here we go. Here's another long afternoon. You know, you've got to remember that for a period of nearly three seasons, we spent very little time behind. You know, when we won the title, we went something like 20 plus games. We were ahead first.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we won the Champions League that season, where we were arguably a better side, to be fair with you, the 18-19 season, we were elite defensively. And again, we spent the majority of time ahead in games. You know, I can't remember the exact percentage, but so we've built up this premise of we don't concede first, we score, and they have a belief that they will go on and they will win the game because they've got enough, always had enough up front. Now it's like, oh, yeah, we've conceded and we know how that goes. And they sort of almost build into this narrative that's forming that we're soft and we're easy to beat rather than going against it, you know?
Yeah, it's not good. And like I think you said earlier, it's struggling to see it changed in the short term, but who knows? I suppose with that team, Phil, because arguably, and I'm saying arguably before anyone hammers me for this, you could argue it's our almost first choice 11 in Jurgen Klopp's eyes. So we normally ask, has anyone played their way in or out? So it's probably unlikely to say in, if we're counting that as our first choice 11, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Anyone play their way out, would you say, or position at risk?
I mean, in Klopp's eyes, no. All right. In any normal logical human being, Hendo shouldn't be anywhere near that 11 and Naby should be starting. That's another poor performance for me on Saturday for our captain.
Yeah. It's tough to argue against that. And I know you love your stats, so I don't know if you saw that stat about Jules that was going round.
Yeah.
I think
it's
right. Hendo didn't win one, I think. Is that right? Didn't win a single Jules during that contest at all.
If you combine aerials and ground, he won one in the entire game. In terms of ball recoveries and recovering possession, Ali recovered the ball more than Hendo.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, that's only when that ball's loose, but I'm just giving you an indication of part of his role is to do that. And he just didn't. If you look at their second goal, the equaliser, he runs back with the player and then leaves him on the edge of the box. And then Wang just goes, plays the 1-2 and scores. And you think, well, you've made the hard part. You've run 40 yards with him. Why didn't you just carry on going with him? I know, you'll probably know me from, if those who listen to me, I don't want to dig out players, but it unfortunately for me, that right side eight is critical to us at the moment. And I'm not saying we should play Harvey there either. But that's the only player I wouldn't personally include, but Klopp will play him. So it's kind of almost a mute point.
Yeah, we will see. And it is right to preview Brighton, who, let's be honest, Phil, they're probably one of the sides you pick who you wouldn't want to face, especially away right now, but it is what it is. I mean, we look at Brighton, they're 1 point behind us in the league. They're flying under, I think it's De Zebri it's pronounced, I could be wrong on that.
I think you're right, yeah.
I'll butcher many names before this. So they are in brilliant form. I mean, in the league, they've just beat the Ev 4-1 away. I know that's maybe not saying much. Bit of a dig there, but you know, and they've just won 5-1 as well in the cup over Borough. I mean, these guys are in great form, and it even got mentioned in the press today, didn't it, that he's taken it on from Potter, and you know, there's not really been that negative impact there, quite the opposite. They're a 4-2-3-1 side, they've got a real strength in midfield. Let's be honest, they've got a couple of players at least that we'd all love probably at our club. We know who they are. Let's not make any bones about that at all. As much as possible, we always think about Liverpool, Phil, but are there any real threats or people we should be adjusting for in the Brighton side this weekend, do you reckon?
I mean, they are in cracking form. They've scored 14 from just over 7 XG, so they're overperforming, and they're bang on defensively. Like, they've conceded 6 XG and they've conceded 6 goals. So they're absolutely spot on, 89% pass accuracy. Klopp reference, they got 67 possession in the game against Arsenal when they're the league leaders. So, you know, they are pretty much on it. There's a few areas that are a weakness of back post areas. If you put a ball in there, they're normally on it on an error. I got this from the Y Scout report I ran on them. But other than that, they do a lot of good stuff. They play a lot of free balls in the right midfield zone, which is their pattern of play. Anfield, I think, if you remember, they switched it from right to left to, what's the lad's name that scored twice? I can't remember his name. Trossard.
Trossard, yeah.
Now, I think he's out this game, which is a good thing for us. But no, I would...
I don't need a VPN. I've got nothing to hide. This is what I used to tell myself before I hooked up with LibertyShield.com. Not only is my home internet now fully encrypted, but I can now access all the websites I want, whenever I want, and do so from absolutely anywhere. As a Liverpool fan, I love to know I can now watch every match, regardless of whether it's on UK TV or not. My Liberty Shield VPN makes sure nothing is blocked and guarantees me super fast streaming speed throughout that match. You can get connected right now with their software package, which includes a 48-hour no obligation free trial and instant access to their apps for Apple, Android, Fire TV, PC, Mac, and Android TV. Or go a step further like I have and get one of their pre-configured VPN routers. These small but powerful devices allow you to easily connect every device in your home to VPN, making it the perfect solution for smart TVs, Mac boxes, and games consoles. Visit LibertyShield.com today and use coupon code AIVPN25 to get 25% off at checkout.
Yeah, gross. Trossard's replacement minute, is it midterm or tomorrow? Are probably some players I'd keep an eye on. Your two sixes they play, one of them obviously we all know about because we've been linked to. They're going to look to dominate, but sit in front of cover, and then they've got two in front to make their run. So, yeah, I would be worried about the wide players because I think they'll play the same thing. They'll try and control the middle and then switch it from left to right or right to left and try and pull us apart that way. But it's more about the thing that I think Brighton are good at now is they are a team.
Yes.
So to say we've got to worry about X or Z, it's not true because they don't generally have massive stars. They just play really well as a team.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And as much of the positive I was trying to take, like you say, because it's an interesting one with Trossard because he's got 6 months left on his deal, hasn't he? He's been linked with a move away. And the suggestion is that it's almost due to his attitude that the manager has moved him away from first team training. So this might be clutching at straws, but he does love a goal against us. So I'm not to see him out at all. I think, though, as you said, and this is maybe the disappointing side for us, his absence, I don't think, derails them. It's very much, as you said, they look like a team. One could go out and another could come in and the impact wouldn't drop as dramatically. So, yeah, I think they're going to be looking exactly like that, like you say, flood the middle, win that battle in the middle and then switch it. And I've got to ask you this, Bill. We always ask everyone the formation and lineup. I know, obviously, you've got that in your mind, you think it's redundant, the point about Hendo. If you're setting up, if it's you in the dugout then, formation and lineup for Brighton, how do you set this up? And I've got to base this with the caveat, as you said, no Bobby. Darwin is a weird one, isn't he? Because, again, a bit of hesitancy, I'll use that word to answer from Klopp, that it's minor, he's not trained, we don't know yet, they're not counting it out. Again, cloak and dagger, that type of thing. How do you set up then? How do you line up against Brighton?
So I'll give you two, because Nunes is the variable for me, If it's me, okay, I'm playing Ali, Trent, Matip, Kanate, Robbo with Naby, Fab, Thiago in the middle. Okay, that's my back set of players.
Yeah.
And then if Nunes is fit, I'd go Mo, Nunes, Gapco. If Nunes isn't fit, I would play Mo down the middle, Gap go left, and then I would Flip a coin between Harvey and Ox on the right. That'd be my lineup. That's the same. The back line would stay the same for me. If it was me, I think Hendo will get the nod over Naby, but yeah.
Fair enough. A question on that, because again, people are going to hear that and they're going to interpret this how they want. Do you play the 4-3-3 personally against Brighton, or do you change that at all?
I'm a big Billy. We've spent 7 years developing 4-3-3. I've seen there's nothing in the stats to me that suggests that we gained anything from changing it. The fact that in game we go to more of a box midfield is kind of irrelevant. So you kind of got an on ball or an off ball formation, if you like. So, but a setup off the ball, I think it's going to be very important. I think 4-3-3 is how we'll go and set up. If on the ball that looks a bit like a box in midfield, then that's kind of how it's been for the last few games anyway. But off the ball, definitely it'll be a 4-3-3.
Yeah, agree with that. Formation wise, again, probably slightly different for me. I'd love to see a double pivot on sorts. I'm not precious on that, be it the 4-4-2, the 4-2-3-1. I just think there's desperately some help needed for Fabinho in that middle. And, you know, we've looked so open. Not that the that formation switch, as you said, the evidence doesn't suggest that will necessarily change it, but we'll see on that one. My gut does tell me, I think I might be wrong, we'd probably both be amazed if Nunes is fit from all the indications, but that there's hope in. So I can well see that as well, that it could be Ox and or Elliot. I think maybe Ox possibly, because he got that goal the other day. Just seems to have had a bit of a rejuvenation. I do agree, and I hate player bashing of any sort. You know, we've all got opinions, but I'm struggling to make a case for Hendo to be in that team. I'd love to see Naby come back in, even just after his cameo, you know, that pressing that he brought to the Wolves game. I know people are going to say he lost it, which is the other side, a few times, and he did, but that the pressing, you know, the
progression with the ball, he was dribbling, he was looking to make stuff happen. And I think that's what we need in that right side eight role, for personally.
Yeah, absolutely. So, again, I think you're right. I think we'll still see Hendo. That's not to bash him, but we'll see. We will see what happens there. So the final thing, now, for the record, I am now 1-1 on this. So where it's the beat the hoe. So it was before 1-0 to the guests, but having beaten Gags Tandon last week with Nunes as first scorer, that does make it 1-1. Phil, I will let you go first. The final score and Liverpool's first scorer, please, on Saturday.
Ooh. Okay, I did it on the way around. Okay, all right. I don't have to be over-positive in this pod, do I?
No, you don't, be honest.
I think it'll be 2-1 Brighton. And I would go in Mo for a goal if it's going to be a Liverpool goal. But I think the first scorer will be Minamoto.
Fair enough. Yeah, it's a... I'd love to be able to sort of counter that and willfully counter that, but it's one of those games where I can't remember who said it in the week during the press, it may be one of those games the way it's gone this season. Liverpool don't necessarily start as favourites for obvious reasons. So I'm fancying, because I can't match you, so I will go 1-1. I would have gone Mo as first goal scorer. And this sounds terrible. It's not meant to be, because I'm struggling to see who else is going to be without Darwin. Mm-hmm. So I will go as a positive. Gakpo. Let's hope he opens his account. So I'll go that 1-1 Gakpo, and Phil has gone 2-1 Brighton. So it is Saturday, folks. It is a 3 p.m. kickoff, which naturally will beg the question, Phil, where will you be watching it?
So I have a Peacock account, so I will be watching it on Peacock via a Liberty Shield VPN that I have, so the router. So yeah, I'll be watching it on that. So yeah, on that one. Nice coverage, really. But no, I have to put up with some Americans doing the commentating, but they've got a lot of English guys doing it now, so that's all right.
Indeed. So yeah, good shout out for the Peacock, good shout out for Liberty Shield there as well. So it is Saturday, 3 p.m, guys. There is an embargo, as we said, for tonight, so no idea what will be in it, but we'll know a bit more after 10:30. I'd love to say we left you leaving this pod feeling really positive, but we've got to be honest in the current climate. Let's just hope and pray Saturday brings something. But it just leaves me to say, Phil, thank you very much for your time. Thank you very much for your thoughts. And for everyone listening. Thanks very much, guys.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this Anfield Index show. Please be sure to subscribe to our channel so future podcasts find their way to your device automatically. There's nothing quite like fan engagement, and we'd love to know what you think of anything discussed on this show. The best way to get in touch is over on our free Discord community, where both podcasters and listeners debate the hottest LFC topics 24/7. Sign up free now at anfieldindex.com/Discord. You won't regret it. You can also follow us on Twitter at Anfield Index and find us on Facebook by searching for Anfield Index. Oh, and before you go, we'd love it if you could leave us a 5-star review on your favourite podcast app. It only takes a couple of seconds, and it means the world to the people who create these free shows. Sports Social Podcast Network.